Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears back with you here Wednesday, January the 7th, 2026. I about said 2025. Wednesday, January the 7th, 2026. Coming up on 10 minutes past the hour. First Wednesday in 2026. First Wednesday in the month of January. All right, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, the news this morning that we were talking about in hour number one, both gubernatorial picks, Republican and Democrat for the fall, Democratic for the fall. See, there I said it. Vivek Ramaswamy has chosen State Senate President Rob McCauley as his running mate, Lieutenant Governor running mate, and Amy Acton has chosen David Pepper. So there you go. That's how it all shakes out at this point. Okay, go ahead, caller.
Oh, love Minneapolis.
Yes.
Christian was talking about the daycare centers. Did I understand him correctly? He said that there was no proof that there was fraud with the daycare centers and run by the Somalis?
I think he said that in Minnesota.
Well, you know, the thing is, this, I can't think of his first name, but the Shirley guy that went and knocked on doors, investigated, and talked with people that lived adjacent to these facilities, all the years, they had never seen any children out there. There would just be parents coming there. Apparently, they had parents who were supposed to be daycare workers that would come in, and they would get paid. But the interesting thing is, the hours of operation would be at times when people would be at work and wouldn't be able to drop their kids off before going to work. And another really bad thing that this whole mess has done, some of the legitimate daycare centers are suffering because of these few. There was a woman that was interviewed by a news agency there in Minneapolis that she said her payroll monthly is like $250,000 a month. And she now has no revenue to pay the instructors, all of these people that are there. And she's going to be having to close up. She's used some of her own money to pay salaries for these people and stuff. So it's a real mess.
Yes, and I think there is obviously more proof of something happening in Minnesota than there is in Ohio.
Currently.
Yeah.
I mean, are you aware that there was a mosque really adjacent to WCMH? I forget exactly what the circumstances were and what all was going on there, but it wasn't all of a religious nature going on. So there are things going on, and I'm sure the ones that are in Columbus are under an investigation going on. But some of these things from news agencies following the police raiding one of these centers that they found out was a pill mill. I'm pretty sure they said they were manufacturing fentanyl, and it's just amazing. But following the money, to export money, you have to file papers so that you can send money out of the country.
Right, but what I don't understand is why has the money been stopped to all daycare centers.
Oh, how are you going to know the ones that are legit from those who aren't?
Right, but how's
the unfortunate situation?
But how will stopping the money show you who's legit and who's not? I mean, wouldn't that just run people out of business?
Well, it's going to stop a revenue stream of money going outside of the country.
Well, yeah, I understand that. But again, my point is, if you're doing good business and you're doing fine and you're doing what the law requires, cutting your money could cause you serious financial hardships.
That's the tragedy of the whole fraud that's been perpetrated.
Right, but how?
That's the whole tragedy.
But my question: How does that?
Innocent, legitimate people are getting hurt because of these miscreants.
Right, but stopping it to everybody. How does that point out who's running a fraudulent business and who's not?
Well, I got to believe those who are legit will be making proper claims. Those who make proper claims, having the paperwork, having the documentation of what they're doing is correct, will get their funds turned back on. Whereas those who don't will probably try to bug out of the country and go somewhere. I believe one of the key individuals tried to leave. I don't know exactly what's going on, but it's a hell of a mess. You know, you have to do drastic things, and unfortunately, when people pull frauds like this, they hurt. It's a whole domino effect. They hurt a lot of legitimate people. It's just like crime. You know, it escalates. It permeates.
Right, and, but I guess my... If it was going to help root out the problem, I could see it. And maybe even in Minnesota, where there is a suspicion and some accusations made and some proof shown, I could see cutting off the funds in Minnesota. But the other 49 states where there doesn't seem to be any proof or any issues regarding this, why cut off all their funds?
I don't know if that, in fact, is what's going on. My understanding is they cut off all the funding to Minnesota.
No, I think funds have been cut off all around.
You think or you know?
Well, I'm pretty sure that, as I said, I have heard from people in Ohio who are operating daycares who are having a terrible time, and I don't know what would be causing that terrible time if there weren't financial issues.
Well, it depends on what they define or what they consider we're having a terrible time. Could it be the fact that, well, there's fallout and guilt by association, you know? So it's, let's just put it this way. It's one hell of a mess that needs to be straightened out. And from everything that I've heard to this point, Minnesota with the daycare situation has been going on 10 plus years. So it's going to take a lot to get things straightened around and, fix the whole system so that those who are good people continue their good mission.
Well, I guess it's 5 states.
What?
5 states is what I'm seeing
five
right now.
Five states. We can pretty much throw it. We know it's California, Minnesota, New York, Ohio, and I don't know what, I think maybe Michigan, maybe.
California, Colorado, Illinois, Minnesota, New York.
They left out Ohio?
I don't see Ohio there, but, you know, I don't.
Major congregations of Somalians are, I'm sure that's, they're going to be under the microscope. So if that's where they are, that's where they are. But, one of the things, even with Ilhan Omar, talking about supporting Somalia, she took an oath of office. And I think one thing that's a slap in the face of all veterans, present and former and faded away, to change the state of Minnesota's flag that looks extremely similar to the Somalian flag is an abomination.
But, you know, isn't this the problem, though, that, okay, Ohio's not even on that list. So why is the governor, why are people reporting this as if something awful has gone on here when the federal government isn't even making that accusation?
Well, it could be the ICE raids that they're having in Columbus, which could possibly, you know, go into the daycare centers run by Somalis.
Well, it's very interesting to me because Governor DeWine has said, obviously, there were, I can't remember the number I said in our number one, but it was like 120-something complaints last year, all year, about daycares. And in the first, 5 days of this year, there have already been 20-something. So, you know, that's what social media causes, and that's what accusations cause.
Here's a thought. Social media, those people who do social media that's misleading and tends to cause chaos and mayhem, it seems as though they should be held accountable just like somebody that's in an auditorium and yells fire, you know?
Well, you would think. You would think, and I
was like, "Oh, yeah,"
but that's not what happens. And just like with the water, that's why I likened it to the water situation. I kept saying, "When there's proof, please give it to us and let's report it." And if you don't want to drink the water because it smells bad and tastes bad, I'm not sure why you'd want to drink it anyway if it smelled bad and tasted bad. Don't. But we can't say definitively that something's going wrong here until we have proof that that has happened. And I haven't seen it yet. And all restaurants and places of business seem to be back to using the water. And I haven't seen these big reports of people who were ushered into the hospital because of it. And, you know, I don't know. It's a very strange world on all accounts where you don't have to present any facts anymore. All you have to do is present speculation. And if you present speculation, people will believe it, and we're off and running. And that's a major, major problem that the United States is dealing with right now, because I'm not really sure. You used to know what a tabloid was. You know, you looked at the front page of the tabloid, and you knew it was iffy at best if that was true, and you didn't look at it like the cover of the local newspaper. But now, people seem, if they like what the story is, they believe it. If they don't like what the story is, they don't believe it. And that's a big problem. And also, this is the Vivek Ramaswamy problem I was talking about earlier, that there are problems. Mike DeWine has said that these are legal Somalians that people are making these claims against. But it's Somalians. Why? Why them? Why not all daycares in Ohio? Well, there's a problem. There's a distinction
there. Well, you follow the money and you see what the majority of the individuals are, who the majority of the individuals are, and it draws to a conclusion.
Well, we'll see. Like I said, Jim Renacci said last week, and I was shocked that he said it, that he felt that Vivek's religion was going to have a bearing on this race. And he said he's told him so.
Well, it very well could in certain areas of the state. It probably will. In all likelihood, will.
Yep. Well, there we are.
I will leave you with Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam. That's Hebrew. Repair and improve the world.
And away we go. Thank you.
Yep.
All right, phone lines are open here, 740-383-9944. Just kind of an open discussion morning here this morning, which I think is a lot of fun to do. 24 minutes past the hour, Wednesday, January 7th, 2026. We can talk about whatever you would like. We can talk about the gubernatorial race here. We can talk about the child care, I guess we'd call it a scandal now, in Minnesota and other places. Certainly getting in the news here in Ohio at this point. We can talk about what happened at City Council on Monday. I see that there are some articles being written about this. The payroll situation at dealing with the city. People not getting correct checks. Obviously, that would cause a problem with people. 740-383-9944. And again, I guess it all comes down to, is that the auditor's fault? You know, she certainly is getting the blame from the mayor and certain members of city council at this point for that particular issue. So, is it her fault? You know, I don't know. I really can't say whose fault it is. But I do know, as I said yesterday, that the show that continues to happen in front of everybody during the city council meetings is not helping this city in any way, unfortunately. We're up to 68 degrees now here in the studio. So we're fast approaching where we were yesterday, which was about 72 when we started. So I'm feeling good about that. But this is the world we live in now. And again, if you hadn't heard this morning, Vivek Ramaswamy chose Senate President Rob McCauley as his running mate. And Amy Acton chose David Pepper, former head of the Democratic Party here in Ohio. So, those are your choices. And again, the phone lines are open. 740-383-9944. Is there anything else of particular interest going on in the world, in Ohio, in Marion, that has caught your ear or eye in the last few days? I have to admit, I have not been following this child care issue closely, but I have watched the things that Governor DeWine has had to do and say amidst what is going on. So, you know, here we are at this particular point. Go ahead, caller.
Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
How's Scott?
You know, other than a little cold, I'm good.
Oh, it just can't please you.
I know.
One day it's up, one day it's down.
Too hot, too cold. I got to be right in the 70 to 80 degree range.
I would rather it be cold as it be 99.
That's true. When it was close to 90 on Monday, that was, you know, that is hard to breathe in when you walk into a studio.
I've been heading for home myself.
Yes, forget that. I'll come back tomorrow and do the show.
Yeah, whatever. Anyway, back to our city, sad as it is, and it doesn't seem to be getting a whole lot better, but I personally don't think the state can come in and take over quick enough, because they're not working to make it, to fix it, because it's all, everything's somebody else's fault. And until the state gets in and says, no, you can only buy 3 pencils. You can't buy 7. And that's what it'll come to. And it don't matter what the council's saying, the state's right.
You know, so at this point, you would like to see the state take over.
Yes.
Yeah. You know,
the quicker the better.
Well, I think a lot of people are feeling that way at this point, because even since it became an issue in the news a few weeks ago, month ago, whatever it's been now, that they're having serious problems. What was it? Week before Thanksgiving. Everything still seems to be bungled around.
Well, it's because no one tells the truth and nobody stands up. You know, everybody's right. Well, somebody's not right, or it wouldn't be the mess it is. And like I say, the state can't get here quick enough.
Well, I think I was reading today online, and I think it's one of the headlines online on the Marion Star page, And the article about Monday's city council meeting essentially is that the city's having payroll issues, and the mayor blames the auditor.
Well, you got to blame somebody, and it's not my fault.
Well, that's what amazes me about this whole thing. And again, I'm not saying it's not the auditor's fault. I don't know. But I don't know that getting up and placing that blame does any good.
Well, that's because it's taking the monkey off of your back.
I guess.
And it comes right down to it. I think it's the whole damn computer system itself. I don't think it has a thing to do with the auditor. But ever since they've got a new computer system, it's been a mess. And like I say, until the state comes in and straightens it out, it's not going to get any better. And I wouldn't blame the auditor if she wrote a letter and says, I'll see you in court or whatever.
Well,
I would be out of there.
Well, I think one of the problems, and I think what we'll learn eventually, is that when you have a city the size of Marion, and the books get out of whack to a certain degree, it's hard to put that back together. You know, you can't put the egg back in the shell so easy.
Well, no, you can't. But don't point your dang finger at one person. She's trying. I don't know her from scat. But all I can say is the state can't get here quick enough.
Well, it is true that she does face a lot of ridicule in these meetings and has for some time. Now, most elected officials will tell you not necessarily that she deserves the public ridicule, but that she doesn't know what she's doing. They'll say that in private.
Then somebody go in there and help her, because they don't know what they're doing either. So I would say it started when it wasn't when just the auditor, it is the whole setup, and until the state comes in and cleans the mess up, it's not going to get any better. So if I was Miranda, I'd pack my bag and I'd get the heck out of Dodge.
Well, you know, it is interesting. I don't think she has to attend those city council meetings, and I'm surprised
she has to defend herself.
Well, she does, but, you know, it's just bad every time that it happens because it's just somebody yelling at her. And
what would they say about her if she wasn't sitting there?
You know, I don't know, because that's a whole nother issue, is the tone that they speak to her. And that's what I said yesterday. I think it was yesterday's show. You know, when Twyla, who's the head of the finance committee, sits.
She still is?
Yeah, she's still the head. And she sits there and berates the auditor, but then keeps referring to we. Now, is that she and the administration? I don't know what we is.
Well, why doesn't she go in and say, let's sit down, I don't know anything about this either, but let's try to figure it out.
Well,
instead of just pointing a finger, that's just... I was really sad when it all came about. And then when I heard what the county situation is, I says, look, sounds to me like they're following the leader at the head of the country. The whole thing's a mess, and it's because nobody tells the truth.
Well, the only good thing with the county at this point is that I'm pretty sure they know what their finances are. They just have been overspending for quite some time.
Oh, well, that's a poor excuse. Good God, they're adults.
Well, you would think.
Well, they ran for the office, and, like Applefeller, my God, how many years has he been there?
Somewhere in the neighborhood of 20.
All right. So, apparently experience is not the key.
Well, it's interesting because I remember covering the county commissioner meetings and I don't remember there being this kind of problem in the county. And you know, both groups have dropped funding for downtown Marion. Okay. So why was that being funded if groups did not have the funds to do it? Why were they deficit spending?
Because they look better saying yes than saying no.
Well, I understand that, but again, at some point, the money runs out.
Well, what the world does their checkbooks look like at home? I just, like I said, if I was Miranda, I would pack up my bag and I'd say, see you guys, you know how to do it, fix it, I'm going to McDonald's.
Well, she has certainly taken more ridicule than I think any public official in recent history.
And everybody that is so smart, why don't they say, well, let's see if we can figure this out. That's what we're paying those people for.
Yeah.
I tell you, and they should be ashamed of themselves for treating her like they do.
Well, you know, that's kind of I said this to somebody at one point. I said, you know, even if you think that she's not doing her job, even if you think she doesn't know what she's doing, she's an elected official. You can blame the people who elected her. You can blame the people who appointed her, which was the Republican Party in Marion. But
that's true. But why do we elect a treasurer and an auditor? When Johnny Jones votes for her, do they know if she knows how to sharpen pencils?
Well, that's it. And so why do they not blame that particular group of people? And coincidentally, the auditor, Miranda, last time ran unopposed in, when was that, 2023, I believe it was? Okay, she ran unopposed. Everybody was very well aware of the city's financial problems at that time.
I don't know if they were or not. I think they hadn't pulled their head out from you know where.
Well, they certainly, that was the election that elected Collins, and by that point, they certainly knew something was up, because Landon had resigned. And I think that was, that year, 2021, was the year that things came to light in a big way. So by 2023, they certainly knew something was wrong. They certainly knew.
I don't know if they did or not. They're just going to go see if they can make more people happy. And let's have a picnic in the park. And that I was thinking about the picnic. We didn't really get the position because there was many people voted. I think there was a few people voted along a lot of times. And how in the world can you spend $20,000 on hot dogs, chips, and a few cookies?
Well, and see, now here's an issue there. Now again, I hate to pick on that $20,000, but the county, as Dr. Davis said a week ago on this show, knew very well that this financial issue was coming. So, and by the way, I do think Dr. Davis was the only one who voted against the party in the park.
Did Applefeller, that's been there for 100 years, he didn't know how much money they had?
I don't know.
Well, that's what everybody's saying is, I don't know. It's just a sad thing. It's like we're running a bunch of junior high kids that's trying to make friends.
Well, it's interesting, though, because there have been politicians in recent history, recent history being the last 10 years, who did not operate in this way. And they all kind of want to do it in silence, though. You know, there are people who do not want to come on and answer questions, I think, because they don't like the questions.
Well, they don't know the answer.
Well, it could be that, too.
And, you know, when you keep silent and don't defend yourself, that almost points a finger at guilt.
Well, the interesting thing to me is they have no problem being very vocal during meetings when they're blaming people, but as far as answering questions themselves, they really don't want to do that.
Well, and then it comes right back down. Does the president have a gavel, and does she ever use it? Why does she let it get to this point?
Well, I don't know. Monday night was committee meetings. It wasn't the head of the committee should have gaveled that, which would have been Twyla, but she was a part of the...
Well, no, she's got to know because she wants to make friends, and she's doing it. I don't know if she is or not. But I tell you, it's a sad thing because it is like junior high. You know, I can't step... I want to be a friend with them.
You know what was...
All I can say is, if I was Miranda, I'd grab my extra pencil and my, well, don't take a pencil because it probably belongs to the city.
Well,
but I would grab my coat and I would be out of there and say, see ya.
Well,
it's not my fault. I can't fix it. And you guys handle it.
Well, I'll tell you one of the oddest moments Monday night was when some of the city employees were complaining about their payroll issues, which obviously they should be. I mean, that's upsetting to them, I'm sure. But when they were complaining, Twyla made the comment that the auditor's an elected official, the mayor's an elected official, and council is an elected, are elected officials, and we have to stay in our own lanes. Now, okay, so staying in your own lane means yelling, criticizing the other people in the other lanes, and would go out of... See, here's the problem I don't think they understand. Again, even if the auditor is wrong, they will ream her, but go out of their way to defend the mayor. So, it doesn't look good. It looks a little shaky.
Well, like I said, if the state came tomorrow, it wouldn't be any too soon.
Well, it may happen. It may happen.
Let's hope it does, because they're not getting any better. They sit there and point their fingers at whoever, and it's not getting any better. And while they're here, they might as well go over there to the commissioners and fix that mess.
Well, the spending's definitely going to have to go down on all ends. That's going to be the solution.
It's absolutely ridiculous, and I can't understand why... If Miranda is there, she's working extra time and so forth, trying to make the best of it. She can't dig it out herself. She didn't get herself in. I mean, that mess was there when she got there. It wasn't like she made the mess. And if I was her, I'd go to McDonald's, see if they had any openings, and I'd be out of there.
Well, and maybe we want to get the budget director involved in some of this. You know, there's somebody who used to work in the auditor's office.
Well, where is all these fancy people that we've hired?
Well, they're up on the third floor at City Hall, just a few steps from the auditor's office, but apparently they don't go in there.
Well, because they don't know how to fix it either, so how is she supposed to know how to fix it?
All I know is the whole idea of budget director was sold that this was going to be somebody to help the auditor. So,
that was misjudged.
Well, I don't know why she's not sent down there when there are issues like this. She used to work in the auditor's office.
That doesn't make a lick of sense. That does not, and I'm just a stupid little old lady here on the west side of town. But that does not make sense unless she doesn't want to get in the she doesn't want to get in that mess.
Well, I'll tell you,
she stays upstairs and.
The most odd thing about that is they will scream and yell and place blame and argue with each other. Not one person has ever asked the budget director why they don't go help the auditor if there is all this problem. Now, they cannot say that it's not her job, because we can go back and listen to the tapes when that job was approved in January of 24. And that's exactly how it was sold. This person is going to help the auditor.
That's a person that we hired that we didn't have anybody to hire.
Well, that's another one of those, yes. But I guess she prepares budgets at this point.
Well, or whatever she does, but it doesn't make sense to me. And everybody's blaming the wrong person. And like I told her, like I said, if I was Miranda, I would say I'd grab my coat and purse and says, I'm going to McDonald's.
We'll see what happens as it goes. Hey, thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right, again, phone lines are open, 740-383-9944. 43 coming up on 44 minutes past the hour. It's always good to hear from the people out there. That's how you learn what's going on in the city and what issues are getting attention. You know, and sometimes it's serious stuff, and sometimes it's I heard about it, and sometimes it's more of a salacious bit of material. But, you know, we're just having a conversation here every morning, and people are interested. So there you go. 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Feel free to weigh in on anything you like. 16 minutes left in the big program here today. 69 degrees here in Marion. Fast approaching 70 degrees. Maybe we'll be there before the end of the program today. Go ahead, caller.
All right, you said salacious, and this is much more interesting or juicy than hanging up my laundry.
Okay, go ahead.
So that was a good break. Well, there was a picture that was sent to me that apparently has been floating around for a few weeks. It has now been made public of the Common Pleas Christmas party. They just had their big grand reintroduction to the world yesterday with the newly remodeled fourth floor courtroom. Judge Ferrick's courtroom, we had been doing major repairs to the building, and we went ahead and remodeled a courtroom while we were at it. Well, there was a picture of Judge Ferrick's behind his bench at what is now known to be the Common Pleas, or, well, I don't know who all was involved, but I know the Common Pleas court employees were, and possibly some probation employees. I don't know if they count as court employees or not. And Judge Ferrick's is standing behind the bench of his nice, new, renovated courtroom. And there's six or seven bottles of bourbon sitting on the bench in front of him. And there's a court employee standing in front of him with a hand on the hip. Now, from the picture, it doesn't appear that any of those bottles are open when that picture was taken. But I was told that, and I do not know that this part for certain, I was told there was drinking after the picture was taken. I don't know if that's true, but I know that Judge Matt Ferrick's, is standing behind the bench of his newly renovated courtroom with about seven bottles of bourbon. There's the Common Pleas court seal behind his to the right, and there's an employee standing there with their hand on their hip in front of them, and it appears to be Judge Todd Anderson sitting in the front row with his legs crossed, and he has a tumbler in his hand, and obviously I have no clue what's in there, but I don't think that with the history of alcohol and judicial type, well, judges in Marion, that that's a very good look. And then, come to find out, the person who took the picture, I was told this last night, I don't know the person that took the picture, but I was told they were terminated from their job yesterday.
And the person worked for the court system?
They were in the room, so I'm assuming, yes, they worked at the courthouse. I don't know in what capacity, but they were in the room when the bottles of bourbon were being lined up on the bench. And I know a local reporter has asked for a comment. They asked for a comment over the weekend from the court regarding the picture, and I don't know if they've received that yet or not.
Now, so this is like a Christmas party they're having?
But yeah, I was told it was mid-December that it was a holiday celebration, yeah.
So it was their holiday celebration, and they're having it in the courtroom?
In the courtroom.
Okay. That is it been used yet?
Yes, this item, well, I would imagine it's been used. Yesterday was the unveiling, though, of the new renovations.
So,
very nice.
Yeah, well, so what would be...
It looks expensive.
Well, so for people, what would be...
Let me just ask you this, Scott. I know where you're going.
Yeah.
Has your boss ever busted out a bottle of booze in the middle of the day? I mean, even just broke out a brand new bottle of booze and sat it up on their desk?
Not that I can remember.
Okay. Is your boss... an elected official sworn to a higher standard of professionalism than darn near any other person in the state?
No.
So, do you see the standard there? I mean, does your boss hand out sentences for drinking and driving, for felony-level drinking and driving?
I certainly understand why it could be a problem. I guess, this is the issue that I think most people who have professional job, like a teacher, for example. Now, if a judge is
higher, teachers can't send people to prison.
No, it is different.
Judges have the ability to take people's freedom away.
Right. But I guess what I'm saying is, you know, Okay. If they did this, what would be the punishment?
What would be the punishment? I don't know. I guess that would be up to somebody in Columbus. But my thought would be the report that I made was with the auditor of state, because if you have hourly employees sitting up there drinking in the middle of the day, judges are salaried, but if you have hourly employees sitting up there drinking in the middle of the day, that's theft of taxpayer time, taxpayer money.
Well, yeah, if it happened during the day.
Why should we pay them to drink?
Well,
it wasn't an evening party. It was the middle of the day.
But, I mean, how many people would have had to have been aware of this? I'm guessing quite a few.
If
it was the holiday party. So, you know, I don't know why.
Have it off-site. Do whatever you want off-site. But a courtroom, I mean, are we even really supposed to drink water when you're in a courtroom for court? You're not even supposed to have water. And there they've got bottles of bourbon. And my understanding, what people are telling me, it's a very expensive bourbon. Now, I'm not saying the taxpayers paid for that, because I'm hoping to God they had the good sense, whoever, that was paid for with private funds. I don't know who bought it. There's no context to the picture, so maybe the court could give us a statement, put some context to the picture. But regardless, it doesn't look good, especially when you've got Anderson sitting there, who was out drinking and driving the night that Warner almost killed the kid.
Well, why would somebody snap a picture of this?
Probably because they thought it was pretty unbelievable.
Apparently. And somebody apparently who was invited to the party.
Yes.
You know, that's the thing.
Because you believe in behavior is acceptable, that doesn't mean that everyone around you is going to believe that behavior is acceptable.
No.
If you're in a position of authority like that, you have a higher standard.
No, I think you do. I just think it's very interesting how the world has changed, in that I'm sure there have probably been boos in that courthouse before. And I'm sure there have probably
been... That's actually a violation of judicial oath.
I'm not saying it's not or a good thing to do.
They're not even allowed to have a little bottle of booze. You know, you see that on TV? They're like, come back here and let's have a little drink and talk about it. They're not even allowed to do that.
Right. Well, no, and I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. I'm just saying my guess would be it probably has happened. And
but you know how TV, like, sensationalizes, like, the judge always pulls this nice decanter out of his bottom drawer, and then he's got these nice crystal glasses, and they swirl around their bourbon and talk about contemplate life sort of thing. Yeah, that's apparently not allowed.
Well, I guess it's just amazing to me. I guess I'm just looking, not that it's right and not that I think that it should be condoned, but it's just amazing to me that to this day people don't understand that everybody's got a recorder, everybody's mm-hmm. got a phone, everybody can take
yep.
a picture. Why do you do these things when mm-hmm. you know stuff like this can happen?
Because rules for thee, but not we, doesn't apply to them.
Yeah, but I'm sure they did not suspect that this picture would get out. So
I doubt they suspected the picture would get taken, considering the fact the person who took it got fired.
Well, and that's another thing. I mean,
and that's sad. I don't believe that's right.
Well, and
that's clearly retaliation. But even if that person sues the county of Marion, nope, they're not paying it. Coming out of taxpayers' pocket.
Well, see, that's interesting that they could track it back to that person. I wonder how they did that.
Well, probably based on where they were sitting, because they were right behind Anderson.
Well, see, and that's interesting to me, because, okay, I guess my question would be, why did you take the picture? Maybe you thought it was unbelievable. I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe they were like, hey, we're having a hoedown throwdown at work.
I guess, but somehow it made its way into the public domain.
Well, they sent it Snapchat. This is what I was told. I'm getting messages from people I've never heard of before. It was sent Snapchat, and someone took a screenshot on Snapchat, and I don't know anything about Snapchat, but I guess you know when somebody takes a screenshot, because those things are supposed to disappear after a few seconds after you open it. Or whatever, I had to get my kid to explain it to me. So when you send a Snapchat message, I open it, and then it disappears after 70 seconds. And if I take a screenshot of it, it tells you that I took a screenshot of the Snapchat that you sent me. So whoever, the person that sent that picture knew the recipient took a screenshot of it.
Well, it's unfortunate somebody lost their job, I guess.
Yeah, it really is. And, if they were doing the right thing or if they were bragging, regardless, they were fired for retaliatory reasons.
Well, now see, here's something interesting. Now this isn't exactly along the same lines, but I was thinking about this the other day because this is, the 250th anniversary of our country. And I've noticed, I guess we're going to start profiling people every week. I'm not sure where these things... It didn't really explain... I don't know if it's just on the internet.
I thought you meant, like, profiling.
No. They're going to do, did you know? Did you know?
Okay.
I didn't read the full article.
A profile in history.
Yeah. But basically, I guess it's done in a did you know way. They take a fact about a person who people might know, but maybe you didn't know that they did this. Okay, so I guess that's the tenor of what these articles are for the 250th anniversary of the country. Now, I looked at the first four people who they say they're going to profile, and I know some of those people pretty well. And there are things I know, if you want to go, it hit my mind because it was, did you know? It basically is how it's all laid out. And I thought, boy, there are some things I know about those people that I bet people don't know that they would not necessarily want out in the public domain. So that reminds me of this in a way because,
But then you don't do things in the middle of a courtroom. And, it's completely different if you're sitting down at Bucci's or the Country Club or wherever else hosts dinners these days, I don't know. That's completely different. But when you are, technically, yes, that's his courtroom, but technically it belongs to the people. And you've got a little bar set up there, and you've got your employees lined up for the Christmas party in the courtroom. Don't they have a conference room?
Well, it is odd. It's odd behavior. It's odd behavior on everybody's behalf. Number one, I'm not sure why you would do that. Have that party.
Seems pretty elitist to me to do it right there in the courtroom.
Well, and then again, I'm also not sure why the person would put it on Snapchat. Did they think it was okay?
Hey, I don't know.
Having a good time.
That person would need to attest to that because that part I don't know.
Well, if they were fired, I imagine they're not very happy right now.
I would probably. That is a really unfortunate. Yeah, but I don't know. That type of behavior, maybe they should have reported it instead of sending it in a Snapchat. I don't know.
But, here's what I think is eventually going to happen. And again, it's good that information comes out, so I'm not saying that. But I bet you, as time goes along, people are going to start making people put their phones in some kind of box when they come into a room. Because, I don't know, there is a weird kind of voyeurism that goes on with that.
Is it, though, when that's public? That's a public building.
You can't just
wander into a courtroom, but the public is allowed there while the proceedings are happening.
Right, but so, I guess it's just the... And again, I'm not saying that what they did was right.
When I went to my deposition, they didn't take my phone from me. And when I was listening to a deposition, they didn't take my phone from me. But they tell you if you're recording anything and this gets out, there will be trouble.
Right, right.
So,
well, but I also know, I know that there are people who have purposely tried to record other people to try to catch them, saying something that they shouldn't. And I'm not sure if that's always the best thing in the world.
No, I don't think to purposely try to sabotage someone into a hot mic moment. No, I'm against the gotcha type stuff. But if you're catching something that's going on in front of you, that's a little different.
Well, it is different.
As opposed to setting someone up.
It is different, but I bet...
No one set Judge Ferrick up for that.
No.
Set himself up for
right.
that.
I don't think he was set up, but I can understand... I wonder if that person who was fired, and again, it's unfortunate that they were fired, but I wonder if they believed that taking that picture was going to cause the hubbub that it did.
Likely not.
Right. So that's what I'm saying. Because of their...
Well, you send it Snapchat with the expectation that it's going to disappear. And then, but once they knew the screenshot existed, I'm sure they were like, oh crap, it's not going to disappear.
See, forever. This is why people have to be very careful about mm-hmm. what, because if she didn't want it out there, then she, I guess...
The internet is forever.
Yeah, well, she did herself damage in that particular way, I guess.
No, she did more than one person damage, I'd say, because I can't imagine becoming much more than a Marion County judge when that picture, and I don't mean that that's insignificant. I can't imagine being seeking higher office when a picture like that exists of you.
Definitely not popular. Hey, thanks for calling.
Take care.
All right. Hey, we're out of time today, but hey, you got your information this morning. We covered a lot, and we'll be back tomorrow. Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
Hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never